When we allow God to work on our lives and work on our person and work on what we think that we are unwilling to fix or can't be fixed, it's a God thing. And if you remember last time I preached about God things, and we're going to continue in the book of 1 Samuel. We read chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. But God wasn't done with this yet. God wasn't done, so the next time I preach will be a little series in It's a God Thing. So we'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 21 through 28, and we'll finish that out. But I don't know if I shared this story with you guys or not, but when I baptized Solomon two Wednesdays ago, we were standing back there, and he was so excited. He was like, man, let's do this thing. I'm ready. He's like, just slam me in that water, and let's get it done. Like, he was excited about doing it. And so, you know, we came down and did it, and I dunk him under and come up, and we're drying off, and I said, how you feel? He goes, I feel good. You know what he said to me? I kid you not. Verbatim, this is what this boy said to me. He said, I didn't know I was going to get that wet. I said, what? He goes, yeah, I didn't know I was going to get that wet. And the reason I tell that story is because when you say yes to God and you're obedient to God and God does a God thing that you can't do, you think getting wet in a baptism is wild. Can you imagine what the rest of your life is going to be like when you choose to be obedient to the Most High God? If that was the craziest thing that happened to him in his life up to that point, man, I'm so excited to see what God does, not only in his life, but in your guys' lives, in my life, in Ashley's life as well. But it takes a lot of God things. And I'm so grateful for his patience and his mercy and his understanding and his constant push for me to be a better man of God, be a better husband, be a better student of his word to figure out what he'd have for my life. And it's only because of the God thing that happened on September 9th, 2012 that I'm able to say any of this. So what a joy it is to serve our God. What a joy it is to serve the Lord. The question I have for you guys tonight is, when God answers your prayers, when God gives you that desire of your heart that you so badly want, when God says, here it is, and he lays it in your lap, when that God thing does happen that you've been praying for years, it happens. How do you respond to it? 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 21. Up to that point, if you recall, Hannah had been childless. She wanted nothing more than a baby boy. She wanted nothing more than to be able to give her husband Elkanah a child. Not just a child, but a boy. She had spent sleepless nights crying out to God. Elkanah's other husband, or other wife, Peninnah, had all these children running around. And she taunted, she tormented her for not having children. Hannah cries out to God and says, Lord, if you would just give me a child, I will dedicate it back to you. I will give it back to you. She speaks with the priest Eli, and he says, go in peace, and may the Lord grant your request. And she sleeps with her husband, and all of a sudden, in verse 20, after some time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to her son. She got the child that she had been asking for. She got the one thing, her heart's desire, that she'd been asking for. Let's see what she does with it. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 21 says, when Elkanah and all his household went up to make the annual sacrifice and his vow offering to the Lord, Hannah did not go and explained to her husband, after this child is weaned, I'll take him to appear to the Lord's in the Lord's presence and stay there permanently. Her husband Elkanah replied, do what you think is best and stay here until you've weaned him. May the Lord confirm your word. So Hannah stayed there and nursed her son until she weaned him. When she had weaned him, she took him with her to Shiloh, as well as a three-year-old bull, a half bushel of flour, and a clay jar of wine. Though the boy was still young, she took him to the Lord's house at Shiloh. Verse 25, then they slaughtered the bull and brought the boy to Eli. Please, my lord, she said, as surely as you live, my lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. Verse 27, I prayed for this boy, and since the Lord gave me what I asked for, I now give the boy to the Lord, for as long as he lives, he is given to the Lord. Then he worshiped the Lord there. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this afternoon, this evening, Lord, and We are so grateful for our lives, so grateful for opportunities that you give to us on a daily basis, Lord, whether we take them or not. So thankful for your tender love and mercy, God, that we get what we don't, that what we shouldn't deserve, God, and you give us a way out of this. You give us a way out of death, hell, and the grave by your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, we ask a blessing on this evening, and we commit the next few moments to you, God. May you open our hearts, open our minds. Lord, draw us closer to you. Father, we love you, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. If you remember in verse 11, chapter 1, verse 11, this is the premise of all of what's happening from here on out. She said in verse 11, making a vow, she pleaded, Lord of armies, if you will take notice of your servant's affliction, remember and not forget me, and give your servant a son, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and his hair will never be cut. This thing that Hannah wanted to happen, this thing that she pleaded to the Lord for literally years, God finally delivered. Now, Hannah had a choice to make, and we can see that in verses 22 and on. In verse 21, I think it's easy to see Elkanah and his family had a great relationship with God. They were constantly going to the Lord to sacrifice. They were constantly praying. They were constantly worshiping God throughout the good circumstances and the bad circumstances. And Hannah here is faced with the best thing that's ever happened to her, but also the toughest decision of her entire life. The toughest thing of her entire life is fixing to come, all because she made a vow to God. She got what she wanted, and now it's time to deliver. You see, in verse 22, Hannah never lost sight of the vow that she made to God. She never once thought, well, I have this child now. I have my heart's desire. We're good. She never lost sight. But you can also see in verse 22 that she was soaking it in. She was holding on to that baby, because it says Hannah did not go. So Elkanah said, we're going to offer, we're going to sacrifice to God. Won't you come with us? And she said, I think as any new mom would say, I don't think it's quite the right time. I don't think that he's been raised well enough. He's not weaned yet. She's holding on to these precious moments with this little one. And she says, after the child is weaned, I will take him to appear in the Lord's presence and stay there permanently. See, this was no easy task. She knew, Elkanah knew, that as soon as this child became of age, that they were going to have to hand him off to Eli. It doesn't say for a little while at the end of verse 22. It doesn't say for just a small season. What's it say? Permanently. That means for the rest of this boy's life, he's going to be dedicated to the Lord. So you can imagine the conundrum that she's in. I know what I have to do. I know what God has given me. I know what I have to do. But if I could have just a little bit more time with this little one, if I could have just a little bit more time with this child, I'm going to take it. So that begs the question for you guys is, do you find it difficult being a man or a woman of your word? When you make a vow to somebody and you intend on completing that vow and then you get what you want, do you say, well, I was going to, but I never really got around to doing it? See, I planned on doing what I told you I was going to do, but money ran short and I wasn't able to pay you back. I think we've all been victim to that. We've all chosen to do what we ought not to do. And when we make a vow to somebody, we break it. And I would venture to go as far to say that in this day and age, that it's almost the norm to tell somebody you're going to do something and have no intention of doing it, or having somebody tell you that they were going to do something and you know that they're not going to follow through with what they said that they were going to do. Unless I'm the only one with friends like that, and unless it happens to me all the time. Why is that the expectation? I don't know, but it is, and we're okay with it. Hannah was not okay with it. Or better yet, worse yet, rather, if you made a vow with God when you wanted something and said, Lord, if you would give me this, I will give you that. You say, Lord, I would love to give more to the church. I would love to tithe more to the church. I would like to offer more to the church. But see, my job that I currently have, the money situation that I have, it doesn't allow for it. And then God blesses you with a raise or a new job. And you come in here Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, and you say, well, shoot. God gave me, I don't know where it went. Or you say, God, if you would just give me a house. Lord, I would make it a home and I would open it to people. God, I would make it a place of hospitality where anybody could come and lay their head. God, if you would just give me a house, I would open it for everybody so that they would know that it's not my house, but it's your house. And I want to invite people so that they might have a relationship with you. Or you say, God, if you would just heal me of this disease. God, if you would just give me more time on earth. I would commit my life to you. I would give you my everything. My life would be yours, and then miraculously, there's no more cancer. Miraculously, you live through it, and you tell God, well, I didn't mean right now. God, I didn't mean that I was going to do it right as soon as you healed me. I meant eventually I would do it. And I think that's the problem. If you look up to verse 20, I think this is where a lot of us stop. With what we ask God for, and it happens, and He delivers. And I think this is where it stopped. After some time, Hannah conceived and gave birth. She named him Samuel because she said, I requested him from the Lord. And that's where it stops for a lot of us. And we don't get the rest of the story. We don't get the, here's what God's done for me. We'll make a Facebook post and we'll say, oh, new job, hashtag blessed. Thank you, Lord. We'll take a picture of us holding our keys and say, oh, look what God's given me. He's awesome. We'll say, oh, yeah, Lord is great. He's healed me of cancer. He's healed this disease. He brought this child up and fixed him and did something that I couldn't do. A God thing happened in my life, and we don't give him credit. We don't hold up our end of the bargain. We don't hold up our end of the bargain. But I think we can learn a lot here. Because Hannah did. Hannah held up her end of the bargain. She said, God, if you would give me a child, if you would remember me and give me a child, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and his hair will never be cut. And I don't know if you guys have read the rest of the book, but it's a great story of what this little boy became, all because his mom decided to hold the vow that she made before the Lord. And he says in verse 23, Elkanah, this is, she says, I'm going to stay here a little bit longer. I'm going to hold on just a little bit longer. I'm going to soak in these last few moments. I know what I have to do, but I'm just going to hold on a little bit longer. And her husband, Elkanah, replied, do what you think is best and stay here until you've weaned him. May the Lord confirm your word. Elkanah says, whatever God is telling you to do, be obedient to Him. He says, me and the kids, we're going up to sacrifice. We're going to go do these things. We're going to do this. This is what God's called us to do. But if God is telling you to hold off just a little bit longer, that's okay. But what he says there at the end of verse 23 says, may the Lord confirm your word. He's saying, don't wait too long. Don't wait too long. Don't hold off so long that you forget what the end goal is for this boy. Don't wait too long. Otherwise, you might not remember. Don't wait too long, or the vow you made might slip past you. We have a problem of waiting too long, don't we? I know I do. And have a problem of waiting too long, having the best intentions for things, and waiting just a little bit longer, and then just goes away. Her husband's reminding her, don't forget this vow that you made with the Most High God. Enjoy this time. I know this is going to be a hard time for you. I know this is going to be a difficult time. But this God thing that happened 3 years ago, He expects the return on it. He expects you to be a man or a woman of your word. In verse 24, after about 2 to 3 years. That's about how long it takes to wean a child, I would say. About 2 to 3 years. Samuel was weaned. Now Hannah was preparing for the most difficult journey of her life. It says, when she had weaned him, she took him with her to Shiloh, as well as a 3-year-old bull, a half bushel of flour, and clay jar of wine. Though the boy was still young, she took him to the Lord's house at Shiloh. Hannah was now walking and holding this little boy's hand, the object of her affection, walking hand in hand, knowing, I have to get rid of this. I have to give this child up. The thing that I had wanted so deeply for so long is now, it's time for me to deliver on my commitment to God. And she's walking, what I assume, hand in hand, or holding this little boy as she makes this march to Shiloh. I can only imagine the thoughts that were going through her head. I can only imagine the thoughts that were going through this woman's head. But she knew she had to do it. She knew that the vow that she made was important. She knew that by giving this child to God, that it was going to be the best thing for him, for their family, that they would be blessed because of it. I don't believe for one minute she knew the magnitude that was going to come of this. Just like Solomon doesn't know the magnitude that's going to come from his baptism and his obedience to the Lord, just like many of you didn't know the day that you got saved where God would call you to. But we need to be obedient. We have to be obedient. And she takes all these things as customary to sacrifice and offer things to God. In verse 25, they slaughtered the bull and they brought the boy to Eli. They made their sacrifices. They did their offerings. Now they're standing at the gate of the temple and time for him to go. 3 years of raising up this child. 3 years of holding the most precious thing to her. 3 years of years before agonizing, depression, getting made fun of all the time. 3 years. And then she has to say goodbye. To get rid of permanently this boy so that she can fulfill her vow to God. Are you guys understanding? A little quiet. Are you understanding the magnitude of what is happening here? She made a vow with God. She said, I'm going to do this if you would do this. Now it's time to deliver, and she's going to deliver. Verse 26 through 28 is where I want to spend the bulk of the time. She says, please, my Lord, as surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. In other words, kick it back, rewind it about 4 years to the last time she was there sacrificing. And Eli said, how much have you drank? When are you going to stop? She's reminding him, sir, my Lord, she calls him. Do you remember when I prayed here? Do you remember when my heart was broken? Do you remember when I was in despair and I had nothing? Do you remember when I was famished? I wasn't able to eat. Do you remember when I was crying out of my anguish and resentment? Do you remember I was there? You were there. Do you remember this? And I prayed that God would give me a little boy. Do you remember it? Surely, Eli remembered it. How can you not remember something like that? When you see somebody that's broken, that's hurting, no words can comfort. We know that no words can comfort her. Her husband tried to comfort her in verse 8, couldn't do it. Nobody could comfort her but the Lord. And when you see somebody hurting from the depth of their anguish, they're crying out, and you say, "Are you okay?" and nothing happens. And then they come to you years later and they say, "Do you remember? Do you remember when you tried to comfort me and I was a shell of myself? Do you remember when I was asking God to do the impossible? Do you remember when..." Of course you remember. Of course you remember. And Eli remembers. Of course he does. Verse 27. And here's the ending of these last 3 years. The ending of what Hannah had cried out for. The vow that was going to be filled. It's going to happen right here. Imagine, guys, gals, giving up something so precious. Imagine giving up something so near and dear to your heart. Imagine doing that. This is what Hannah did. Can I tell you too, remind everybody that that's what God did with Jesus? He gave up that so precious to die on, I don't know where the cross is, wherever it was, to die on that cross so that you and I would have eternal life. Something so precious. So precious. And Hannah was giving away her little boy Samuel. But what she says in verse 27, "I prayed for this boy." She said, "Remember, Eli, the shell of the person that I was roughly 4 years ago. Remember, I prayed for this boy, this boy that's standing right here. Not only did I pray for him, I made a vow to God." And these next four words are fantastic. She says, "And since the Lord..." And since the Lord. Hannah knew that this wasn't a Hannah thing. Hannah knew that this wasn't an Elkanah thing. Hannah knew that this wasn't an Eli thing. Hannah knew that this was a God thing. And she says, "And since the Lord..." And since the Lord did this in my life, and since the Lord took me out of this turmoil and distress, since the Lord is the one who pulled me out of that pit, since the Lord is the one who put meat back on my bones, since the Lord is the one who pulled me out of this hard time, since the Lord is the one who delivered me from my enemy, since the Lord is the one who did all of these things that I couldn't do, since the Lord did it, and since the Lord did it, what does she say? "And gave me what I asked for. And since He was the one that gave me what I asked for, since He's the one that gave all of you what you've asked for," maybe He hasn't yet, keep praying. If the Lord, and since the Lord, guys, this was impossible. Absolutely impossible. They had tried for years and years and years. And since the Lord is the one who gave this to her, verse 27 is where you can find it. "And since the Lord gave it to her and gave me what I asked for." Do you guys have a story or a testimony that's rolling through your head of something that the Lord gave you that you couldn't do on your own? I got four or five of them rolling through my head right now. And what do I say? "And since the Lord did it, here's what I have to do. And since the Lord did it, I'm going to give my life to Him." You know, the Bible tells us that when we're a new creation in Christ, it's not our life anymore. It's not our life. It's God's life to do with it what He wants to do with it. And since the Lord saved me, it's His life now. It's not about Phil Fisher anymore. It's not about any one of you anymore. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's about what does God want for Phil Fisher? What does God want for Brett, Jeremy, anybody else? It's not what do I want? You think Hannah wanted to get rid of? To give up this child, this blessing from God, her firstborn son? No, but since the Lord gave me what I asked for. She says in verse 28, "Now I give the boy to the Lord." for as long as he lives, he is given to the Lord. It's only right. It's only fair. It only makes sense that the gift that God had given to her, she is giving back to him. It only makes sense that the gift that he had given, that she couldn't do on her own, that nobody else could fix, that the God thing that happened in her life, it only made sense that she would give back to the Lord. And as a side note, if you think that you own anything, if you think that you you have anything, if you think that you are the sole owner of anything, I think we can learn a lesson here. It's all God's anyway. It only makes sense to give it to him, you know. You say, and since God gave me that raise or that new paying job, I'm going to give back to him what he's given to me. It's only fair. It only makes sense. And since God blessed me with that house, I'm going to open it up for everybody because God's given it to me. And since God's healed me and did something that I couldn't do on my own, that the doctors couldn't do on their own, and since God did that, my life is now his. And when you understand that you don't have any control, real control over what you do. Yeah, we have free will. I'm not talking about that. But when you understand that God is the reason that everything happens. If you haven't been here the past couple of weeks, Phil Marlowe's preaching on through Job. If you understand that things happen and people have to get permission. And then even a few weeks ago, Phil Jones preached on sin, temptation, sins, and consequences. When you understand that God allows these things to happen, you understand verse 27 and 28. Because the Lord gave it, I'm giving it back. Because God did a miracle in my life, I'm committing my life to him. Because God did it. This is, even though it's the toughest thing that Hannah probably ever had to do in her life, she understood that. And not only did she understand that, what did it say that they did together at the very end of verse 28? She says, I'm giving it. Verse 27, God gave me what I asked for. I now give the boy to the Lord, for as long as he lives, he is given to the Lord. And it doesn't stop there. What does it say that they do? Then he, some translations say they, worshipped the Lord there. On the worst day of Hannah's life, on the most difficult day of Hannah's life, that vow that she made years ago to God, the vow that she made that she knew that she was going to have to follow through with one day, on the hardest day of her life, the hardest circumstance probably that she would ever been faced with, what did she choose to do? She chose to worship the Most High God. Now, only a person with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, with God the Father, can say, in the toughest times of my life, when I was faced with the hardest thing that I've ever had to do, though it was difficult, though I didn't want to make that walk, I didn't want to do this, I wasn't excited about it, but I knew that it needed done, and it was going to hurt, and it was going to hurt bad, but I still chose to worship the one who gave it to me, the one who could make a difference. Only somebody who's experienced the saving power of Jesus Christ can understand that and know what that means. See, I don't know. The truth of the matter is I don't know where everybody in this room is tonight. I don't know what your relationship with Jesus is. I don't know if you have one. That's not for me to decide. But we prayed earlier, and if you're wondering, well, why haven't I had a God thing happen in my life? Why haven't I had a miracle? Why hasn't God answered my prayers? Why can I not seemingly succeed in life? Friend, tonight is that opportunity to let God do the biggest God thing that He will ever do, that He could ever do. And that was when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. And you accept that salvation tonight. And you say, I trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, and I want that relationship. I want that personal relationship. So when I come into these hard times, I can say, yeah, I'm not happy about it, but there's a joy about me that I can't explain. Yeah, it's a tough time, but I can still worship the Most High God through it. You want to see a God thing happen in your life? Start by giving your life to Christ. So let's stand.